Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine, Namaste Sharashate Deve Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paschatta Deshutarine, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna. So you all had a nice break? Did you all have a nice prasad? Yeah? Very good. And did you get any time to rest? Did you get some time to do some prajalpa? Thank you. So that means now you are completely relaxed. Hare Krishna. So as I mentioned earlier, to cover Krishna's pastimes in such a short time is very difficult. Krishna's pastimes are unlimited. Even if we take the limited presentation that we have in scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam, still to cover them properly we need months and years, like as we are doing. Every day we have Bhagavatam class. And it's going on for so long, and it will continue for thousands of years to come. It has been described that Ananta Shesha, with his unlimited mouth, since time immemorial, is describing the glory of Krishna. And still he can't find an end to it. So that is how wonderful Krishna's pastimes are. So today, or yesterday and today, in these 2 days, we are simply trying to cover few important pastimes just to give you all a basic understanding of Krishna's greatness. And the purpose is to surrender to Krishna. And we can see how easily Krishna can be pleased. The demons who are causing so much damage to Krishna, that they're causing so much distress to Krishna. But even when they surrender to Krishna, Krishna accepts them. He forgets all animosity, everything. And that is how Krishna is like the supreme loving father. No matter how offensive the child may be, but when the child comes and takes shelter of the father immediately accepts him. And not only that, like we are seeing that the demons who have been killed by Krishna, they go back to Vaikuntha. They even get the similar appearance as Krishna. Like it has been described that Kamsa, he got the Sarupya Mukti. Liberation, there are 4 kinds of Vaikuntha liberations. What are those 4 kinds of Vaikuntha liberations? Sarupya, Samipya, Salakya and Shashti. Sarupya means having the same form as the Lord, same appearance as the Lord. Samipya, to have the facility to be very close to the Lord as his associate. Shalaka, to reside in the same planet as the Lord, like Vaikuntha planet, where the Lord is residing eternally. Even the demons get that kind of liberation. So what to speak of the devotees? And in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is giving us so many leniencies. okay, if you can't render devotional service to me with full attention, full surrender, just offer the results of your actions to me. If you can't do that, then at least be favorably disposed to me. If you can't do that, and this is Krishna is giving like all kinds of facilities. Okay, if you are not able to render pure devotional service, render devotional service in, just think of me, meditate upon me. If you can't do that, offer your results of your actions, rather, first offer the results of your action to me. If you can't do that, at least think of me. If you can't do that, just become favorably disposed to me. In this way, Krishna is becoming so liberal and so lenient. That is how Krishna is. And in Bhagavad Gita, finally what Krishna says, just surrender unto me. Just surrender unto me. And I will take care of you in all respects. Don't worry about it. And through his pastimes, Krishna actually induces us to do that. He shows us the benefit of surrendering to him. What happens? In one hand, we see how wonderful Krishna is, how powerful he is. No one can stand in front of him. He's so powerful. Big, big demons are annihilated one after another. And all along, that has been Krishna, that is what Krishna has been doing. As I mentioned yesterday, Jarasandha, 17 times he came with almost 13 million soldiers in one go. And 17 times Krishna wiped out all the demons, all the miscreants. That was the reason why Krishna let Jarasandha lose. Balaram wanted to kill Jarasandha. But Krishna said, no, let him go. He is our recruitment agent. Let him recruit the demons. So Jarasandha was going, collecting all the demons and bringing them to Krishna, and Krishna was annihilating them. 17 times. And then finally we see the battle of Kurukshetra. All the demons of the world, now final demons. Actually, already Krishna wiped out most of the demons. What was left is only about another 11 Akshohini. Mind you, Jarasandha alone came each time with 13 Akshohini. His soldier was bigger than all the assembled soldiers in the battle of Kurukshetra. So in this way, Krishna wiped out all the demons beforehand. Therefore, what was left was just the residue, the remaining 11 Akshohini. So Krishna, through this battle, wiped them out. So one such demon was Poundraka. Poundraka was the king of a province or a kingdom called Karusha. He was the king of Karusha, and he was claiming that he is Vasudev. And he added two extra hands. And he was holding lotus, conch shell, mess and disc in these four hands. With two extra artificial hands, he was claiming that he is Vasudev, Narayan. And he sent a messenger to Krishna, saying that, I am the real Vasudev. So you are a fake one. You are claiming that you are Vasudev, so give up your disc and mess and lotus and conch shell. Otherwise, I will take care of you. So he sent a messenger. So messenger came carrying the message to Krishna. When Krishna heard that, Krishna was quite thrilled. He's quite amused. He said, okay, go and tell your master that soon I'll see him. And yes, I'll give him the disc. But not to adorn his hand, but to chop off his head. So ask him to be prepared for that. So in this way Krishna sent the messenger back. So the messenger went and reported. So Pondraka became very, very upset. He listened to all the insult that Krishna hurled at him, and then he was getting ready, and Pondraka was a big warrior, so he also got ready to fight with Krishna. And so at that time Pondraka was in his friend's kingdom, and his friend was the king of Kashi. Kashi is modern day Benares. It's a holy place. It's an abode of Lord Shiva actually. In Kashi, Lord Shiva is present as Vishwanath, the Lord of the world. And so Krishna just went to Kashi to deal with Pondraka. So he saw Pondraka, gathered all his army. He had already 2 Akshohini, and Kashiraj had 3 Akshohini soldiers. So they just collected all this army, all the soldiers together to deal with Krishna. And so naturally a big fight ensued between them. And Krishna saw that Pondraka dressed himself like Krishna. And Prabhupada saying that it was something like just as an actor sometimes dresses up like Krishna. He was something like that. He had the Kaustava jewel adorning, like a fake Kaustava, not real Kaustava. Then he had a Srivatsa chinna on his chest. He had, as I told, like he had 2 extra hands. And he was wearing yellow garments, and he had a flower garland on his neck. And so Pondraka appeared in this way. And anyone could see that he was just an imitation Krishna. But he was so puffed up that he thought that he is the real Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Krishna is the fake one who is claiming. Or he thought, just as he is a fake Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna is also another fake Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, and seeing him, Krishna could not check his laughter. He just kept on laughing and laughing. Look at this guy. So, and then Krishna told Pondraka that at that time actually he told him that as you asked me to give up my symbols of Vishnu, specifically my now disc, yes, I'll give it up to you. You wanted it, so I'll give it to you. Not to adorn your hand, because you wanted to hold the disc in your hand, but I will give you the disc to chop your head off. I'll send the disc, my Sudarshan Chakra, to chop your head off. And in this way Prabhupada is saying, and Krishna actually addressed Pondraka as a fool. You fool. And Prabhupada is saying, those who try to become imitation God, They are actually the biggest fools. That's why they dare to do something like that. Actually, the intelligence is to recognize one's real position. And recognize also Krishna's position. Because we can understand our real position only when we recognize Krishna's position. Without understanding Krishna's position, we cannot possibly recognize our actual position. In this way, the example has been given, just as we can properly see ourselves only when the sun comes up. And in the light of the sun, not only we see the sun, we see ourselves and we see everything around as they are. Similarly, only when we see Krishna, then only can we recognize our actual identity. So in this way, Krishna, a living entity, by recognizing Krishna's identity, recognizes his real identity. And what is a living entity's real identity? The eternal servant of Krishna. Now that's why you see, like, until and unless you recognize Krishna, there is no way one can recognize his real identity. We are servants of Krishna. Therefore, first of all, we have to recognize Krishna. And only when we recognize who Krishna is, then only we can become his servant and become situated in our actual identity. And then first, Krishna chastised Pondraka, and then Krishna got into the fight. And Krishna smashed Pondraka's chariot. Just shooting one arrow. Just one arrow shattered Pondraka's chariot. And the battle ensued in this way. As I said, Pondraka also was a great warrior. He is a great demon. The demons are so powerful that even the demigods couldn't deal with them. And also, Krishna fights with the demons because Krishna likes to fight. This is another mellow that Krishna wants to relish. Do you remember why Jai and Vijay came down to the earth planet, came down to the material nature? Because they wanted to give Krishna the taste of fighting, to experience virarasa, the mellow of chivalry. That is derived out of fighting. So by fighting, Krishna also derives this joy of mellow of chivalry. Fight. In that fight, what happens in a fight? One tries to defeat his opponent. And if both of them are very, very powerful, then the fight continues. And because both of them are trying to defeat the other. Both of them are trying to defeat the opponent. And in this way, the fight continued for a long, long time. And they all are expert in using different weapons. And not only they are expert in using different weapons, sometimes they give up their weapons and fight bare, with bare hands. Like two lions, they fight. And then, finally, Krishna took his disc, and as he warned him, the disc went and chopped his head off. Pondraka's head was separated from his body. And Krishna also killed the king of Kashi. He was also another demon, a friend of Pondraka. Like, the demons become affiliated to each other. So devotees, they stick together, as they say, birds of the same feather flock together. So demons also, like the birds of the same feather, they flock together. So Kashiraj was defeated. Kashiraj also was killed. Now, the Kashiraj had a son, his name was Sudakshina. Oh, yeah, one thing happened, interesting thing happened at that time. When Krishna severed his head from his body with an arrow, and he made his head fly all the way to the palace. And it fell in front of Kashiraj's relatives. And at first they thought that probably this is the head of one of the enemies that Kashiraj has sent them to have some fun with. But then to their great shock and distress, they saw that this was actually the head of Kashiraj. So naturally they conducted a funeral ceremony. And after that, Kashiraj's son, Sudakshina, he wanted to take revenge. He decided to kill Krishna. And how to kill Krishna? He started to first worship Lord Shiva. Now, as I said, like Vishwanath is present, Lord Shiva is present in Kashi. So they were also great devotees of Lord Shiva, and they worshipped Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva appeared and asked him, "What do you want?" He said, "Look, I want to kill an enemy. So you, and for that I need your guidance, how to do that." Then Lord Shiva told him about a black ritualistic ceremony. To perform a ritualistic ceremony conducted by the Brahmanas. And as a result of that, from the fire, from the sacrificial fire, a demon will come out. And his name is Dakshinangi. So this send your Dakshinangi, this person who will come from the sacrifice, after the proper completion of the sacrifice, and he'll go and kill your enemy. And my associates, the ghosts, hobgoblin, witches, and all those also will accompany him. And they will take care of your enemy. So in this way, he became quite confident, and he performed the sacrifice with his Brahminical priests, and then a terrible personality came out of that sacrifice. He was carrying that personality was like fire, and it was so fiery that from his glands, the cinders were flowing just from his glands. And he had a trident in his hand, and he was naked, a huge form. And so he asked, please tell me what can I do for you? He asked Sudakshina. So then Sudakshina told him, go to Dwarka and kill Krishna. So he said, okay, as your command. So he went there. At that time, this demon came to Dwarka and the whole city started to burn because he was causing a disaster. At that time, Krishna was in the assembly playing dice. So Krishna was reported that such and such demon is creating such a chaos. Then Krishna said, okay, come, I will take care of it. And and he came out. Krishna, the protector of devotees, saw that the Dharka was most perturbed by the presence of this great demon. And so Krishna smiled at his devotees and told him, okay, don't worry, I will take care. I'll take care of this demon. And then Krishna could understand that this demon was the creation of Lord Shiva. And in order to vanquish the demon, he took his Sudarshan Chakra. And he released his Sudarshan Chakra. And the Sudarshan Chakra appeared like a millions of, brilliant as millions of suns. The whole universe became luminous with the glaring effulgence of Sudarshan Chakra. And and the effect of the Sudarshan Chakra started to freeze the fiery demon. The demon was made of fire, and due to the effect of Sudarshan Chakra, it froze. His fire was gone and it became cold, and finally it became so afraid. So he retreated from Dwarka. Now one thing with this black art, that if the personality who is sent to harm, and if they fail to do that, then it goes back to the source and destroys the person who is actually who sent them. So that is what happened in this case. This fiery demon now went back to Kashi and destroyed and killed the son of Pondraka, Sudakshina, and along with him killed all the brahmanas who were also performing that sacrifice. No, I'm sorry, it didn't, because Lord Shiva told him not to kill the brahmanas. And Lord Shiva told this demon not to kill the brahmanas. Yeah. So it killed Sudakshina, and along with Sudakshina killed his associates. So, but in the meantime, the Sudarshan Chakra also went, following that demon, came to Kashi, and Kashi was burnt. Then Lord Shiva came and fell at Krishna, came to Krishna and begged forgiveness. And when it burnt, Lord Shiva also escaped. He left Kashi. How many of you been to Mayapur Parikrama? Have any of you gone to Mayapur Parikrama? Anyway, in Mayapur Parikrama, there is a place called Harihar Kshetra. That is the place where Lord Shiva took shelter when his dham got burnt. When his abode got burnt, he came and took shelter of this Harihar Kshetra. So Lord Shiva is actually resides in Harihar Kshetra, in Mayapur, in that place. And so in this way we can see that since whoever goes against Krishna, what is the natural consequence? That he himself gets destroyed. Another interesting episode is Samba goes to steal Duryodhana's daughter, Lakshmana. Duryodhana had a very beautiful daughter. Her name was Lakshmana. So the arrangement was being made for Lakshmana to get married. And when this arrangement was being made for her to get married, generally Kshatriya girls get the chance to select their own husband. And the ceremony is like all the kings and young kings and princes are invited by the father. And in the assembly, the girl chooses her husband. In the assembly of kings and princes, the girl chooses her husband and places the garland on him. Sometimes there are some conditions that needs to be fulfilled. Like, as I told this morning about Nagnajiti, her condition was that whoever can defeat the seven bulls could win her. And in Draupadi's case, whoever could shoot the target, practically an impossible target, he could marry her. And so sometimes there are some conditions, but sometimes it's left just up to the girl to go and offer the select her husband. But that the episode, the incident did not end there. Because if one won, the girl, then naturally others became upset. So then they would attack that king or the prince who got the girl. And if they defeated, anyway, this was the custom. And so Samba, who is Samba? Samba is the son of Krishna through Jambavati. So Samba became attracted to the beauty, to the beautiful daughter of Duryodhana. So he just went there, and from the assembly of the kings in that Swayambara assembly, he just picked up the girl and drove away. So the Kurus became very upset. And here Prabhupada is actually giving the explanation why the Kurus were upset. Because in that assembly, Samba did not give Lakshmana the chance to select her husband. He forcibly he took her away. Because Lakshmana did not get a chance, and Lakshmana was not really attracted to Samba. That was another thing. And they felt that it is unfair the way he did it, so, and they felt that it was an insult to their family. The Kshatriyas are very proud of their family lineage, family line. So they felt that it was an insult to their family that the Jadus have done that. The daughter of the Jadu family, the son of the Jadu family has done that. So he should be taught a lesson. And under the command leadership of Bhishma, five warriors, five Maharathis went and attacked Samba. Duryodhana himself was there, Karna was there. So they all, and Bhishma, they all attacked Samba. Samba stood up when he saw that they're coming to stop him. So he stood against them. And in that battle, Samba fought so valiantly that they found it difficult to arrest him, difficult to deal with him. So then they jointly attacked Samba, six of them, jointly attacked Samba, which was actually unfair according to the Kshatriya codes of fighting. And then they unarmed Samba and defeated him, and arrested him, and took him to the capital, Hastinapur. So the news reached Krishna and Balaram. So the Jadus were immediately getting ready to attack the Kurus. So Balaram actually had a soft corner for Duryodhan. And he was specially favoring the Kurus. So Balaram said, look, between a fight between these two families is not going to be nice, because we already have a friendly relationship. So over this matter, let us not fight. Rather, let me just go there and I will resolve this issue. So everyone said yes. If without a fight this issue can be settled, then there is nothing like it. And so Balaram went with a few brahmanas and approached. He did not go to the city. He stayed outside the city in a garden. Because this is another Kshatriya code, that when a Kshatriya goes to somebody where their relationship is in question, they would not go straight to their house. Rather, they would send their messengers. So the messenger was sent, and that Balaram has come, and so the Kurus, upon hearing that Balaram has come, they became very excited, because they all loved Balaram and they knew Balaram was very specially favorably disposed to them, and so they very happily went to meet Balaram. Then Balaram told him that, look, I have come here on behalf of Ugrasen to tell you that release Samba, and since they are attracted to each other, let them get married. But when Balaram spoke like that, the Kurus became very upset. He said, who is Ugrasen to give us the order? It is due to our favor that Ugrasen is ruling over that kingdom. So we are his superior and he is giving us the order. It is something like the shoe not going to the foot is going to the head. So in this way, so they kind of started to insult the Jadavas, and saying that actually in that respect the Jadavas were subservient, because Kurus were ruling over the planet. So in that way their position was correct, like Ugrasen was subordinate to and whatever relationship they had, it was a kind of a friendly relationship. But here they were, Duryodhan, who was actually a very puffed up person, he kind of reacted in that way, saying that who is Ugrasen to give us the order? So when Duryodhan started to speak like that, then Balaram became very upset. Then Balaram said that whoever dares to question the supremacy of the Jadus, where Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is present. And it is due to Krishna's arrangement that Ugrasen has become the king. And saying that, Balaram became so upset, then he said that I am going to destroy this Hastinapur straight away. So he took his plow and he started to strike the earth. And as a result of that, the city, he started to pull the city of Hastinapur onto the Jamuna. So at that time, all the Kurus have come back to their senses And they said, no, please, please forgive us. I'm sorry, we made a mistake. They all fell at Balaram's feet and begged forgiveness. So this way Balaram forgave them. And then Samba was released, and along with Lakshmana, Balaram took them to the capital of Dwarka, and there Samba got married to Lakshmana. So this is another episode. Don't ever think that no matter how exalted your position is, never ever consider that your position is superior to Krishna's. Always remain subservient to Krishna, otherwise you'll be in trouble. Balaram will be there to take care of you. And who is Balaram? Balaram just, he doesn't even have to use his plow. Just by his glance he can destroy the whole universe. Balaram, the source of all strength. Bala, Baladev. And so all the members of the Kuru appeared before Lord Balaram with folded hands and begged forgiveness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Another interesting episode that I mentioned this morning that I will narrate. This does not relate to Krishna directly, but it deals with Aniruddha. Already King Ugrasen performed a Rajasuya Yajna. And the condition of this Yajna, when a king conducts, he sends his men to bring all the kings of the world under his subjugation. Then only he can perform the Yajna. If anyone is against that idea, then there is a fight. And only if that other king could be defeated, then only a king could perform Rajasuya Yajna. So when he decided to conduct the Rajasuya Yajna, then Pradyumna volunteered to go and defeat all the kings. And he did that. And then Ugrasen decided to perform Ashwamedh Yajna. So in this Ashwamedh Yajna, it was Aniruddha that volunteered to go out and defeat all the kings. And Ashwamedh Yajna is performed by sending a horse. And this horse goes, just travels all over. And an army follows the horse. And the horse actually has a flag on his head with a message that this horse has been sent by King Ugrasen in order to establish his supremacy all over the planet. And if you do not want to accept him as the supreme ruler, then you can challenge him, but be prepared for a proper consequence. So Aniruddha in this way he had a huge army. And also what was happening, as they were going from kingdom to kingdom, the kings were either accepting their authority and becoming subordinate to them and giving them gifts and inconceivable wealth they were giving. hundreds of thousands of horses and elephants, tons of gold, and this is how wealthy those kings used to be. Or they would oppose. And many kings opposed, and there was a big fight. And Aniruddha started to defeat them all, one after another, after a terrible fight. And now towards the end, after they defeated all the kings, once one demon came. His name was Balwal. And he got hold of the horse. So Aniruddha told him, let him go, because this is the horse that is meant for the sacrifice. And if you want to remain alive, then give that horse, leave that horse. But the demon just laughed at him. And he said that, we are not afraid of human beings. We are not even afraid of demigods. What to speak of human beings? So why should you listen to your words? And saying that, this demon, Balwal, along with the horse, just disappeared. And they all started to... They were plunged into a deep anxiety. Now what to do? Where did the horse go? Like, the horse just disappeared. So at that time, Narad Muni came and gave them the information that this Balwal... is actually the king of all the daityas, demons. After the king of the daitya, whose name was Shakuni, died, Shakuni also was killed by Pradyumna. So then Balwal got all the demons together and he established his capital in an island in the space. It's called Panchajanva. And he has taken the horse there. So they asked, then how can we go there? So then Aniruddha said, just as Lord Ramchandra built a bridge across the ocean, we will build a bridge across the space onto that island in the space. And how they would do that? He said that we'll shoot arrows. And with arrows we'll make the bridge. So... Aniruddha shot an arrow that reached that island. Then others started to shoot all the jadus. And in this way, just by shooting arrow after arrow, they built a bridge. What was the length of the and breadth of the bridge? 30 jojanas. 30 jojanas means... 30 multiplied by 8 is 240 miles. And it was one jojana wide. That is, it was 8 miles wide. As I said this morning, it's up to you to believe it or not. The choice is yours. And then, just as Ramchandra built a bridge, they built a bridge in the space into that island. And for that night, they rested, and the next morning, they went to that island. So first, Balwal's four generals, four ministers came to fight with the soldiers, and a terrible battle ensued, and they all were The four generals were dead. Before they started actually the fight, Maidanav, you heard of Maidanav, who is like the engineer of the demons. Maidanav advised. Now first Maidanav went as a spy in disguise. He took the shape of a bird and flew to see that. So he went and came back and told Balwal that, Balwal, this is what has happened. They built a bridge across the space. And they have so many soldiers that we can't even count. And he said, give up your evil intention to fight with them. Because there's no way you can win. This is the grandson of Krishna. On the other hand, if you surrender yourself to Krishna, all auspiciousness and good fortune will follow you. But instead of listening to Maidanav's instruction, Balwal rather insulted him, comparing him to Bibhishan. He said, you are like a Bibhishan. You are afraid to fight, and that's why, like a coward, you want to retreat. A warrior is never afraid of fighting, no matter whoever it is. Because a warrior knows that if he dies in the battlefield, then he'll go to heavenly planets. And if he wins, then he'll conquer the earth planet. So, I'm not afraid to fight, no matter whoever it is. So in this way, being insulted, Maidanav became quiet. So then, this terrible fight ensued. The four generals, although they were extremely powerful, and not only powerful with their physical strength, they were also very powerful with the mystic power. And these four generals were dead. Then the four generals' sons came to fight. They also died. Then Balwal prepared to fight himself. And he ordered that everybody should come to join this battle. And if anybody disobeys my command, disobeys my order, then he will be sentenced to death. So everyone gathered. Then somebody questioned, where is the son of the commander-in-chief? And they found that the commander's chief son was missing. Balwal sent his men, go find out where he is. And they found that he was at home. He didn't listen to the order of the king. So he was brought to Balwal, and Balwal gave the order to kill him. And he was killed. Then the general started to cry, losing his son. Then they noticed that Balwal's son is also missing. So when Balwal was reported, Balwal was very angry. Where is my son, Kunandan? And so the general went along with his men, and they found that Kunandan was at home with his wife. So they told him that the king actually wanted him to come. So he was brought to the king. So now Balwal is in a big dilemma, what to do. Now he already killed the minister's son and the general's son. And now if he does not take the similar action with his own son, his soldiers will lose respect for him. So he gave order, kill him. So his son, and this is the interesting part, his son said, I'm not afraid to death, afraid to die. My only lamentation is that I could not give the pleasure to Aniruddha in the battle. And if I could die in his hand, then I could have gone to Vaikuntha. Now I am simply sad that I have to accept such a disgraceful death, being punished in this way, and I am not getting this opportunity to serve the Lord and be killed by him. He said, anyway, so now what he did? He decorated his body with Vaishnav tilaks. He made sure that his kantimala was intact. And he took a tulasi leaf, put it in his mouth. And he said, now I am ready to face any weapon, to give up my body. So, a terrible weapon called Shatagni was released. It's like a rocket. But nothing happened to him. Then the general started to say, no. He should be put into another weapon should be released at him. This one did not work. But the minister said, no. The weapon has been released and the weapon did not work. So it's fine. It cannot be released twice. So then Kunandan was brought to Balwal. And Balwal was very happy that his son was still alive. And a long battle actually took place. Eventually, in that battle, Kunandan, the son of Balwal, died in the hands of Shunandan, the son of Krishna. And when they confronted each other, a very nice encounter actually took place. Shunandan declared that I am releasing this weapon at you in order to sever your head. Now if I do not succeed, then he mentioned about series of sinful activities. The destination of these sinful activities will befall upon me and I'll go to hell. And Kunandan declared that if I fail to cut your arrow, then he also declared about various sinful activities and said that would be his destination as the sinner, one who commits those sinful activities. Then Shunandan released his arrow. And Kunandan also released his counter attack. And that cut the arrow. But to everyone's great surprise, they saw that after being cut, although the front part of the arrow dropped, but the hind part of the arrow kept on moving and went and severed Kunandan's head. So seeing that, at that time, Balwal, when he heard his son was dead, he came back with a terrible, to launch a terrible onslaught. And he created a lot of damage to the Jadu soldiers. And at that time, Lord Shiva came also to his. And a terrible fight ensued between the Jadus and Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva killed Sunandan, the son of Krishna. And not only that, he started to devastate the whole Jadu army. At that time, Jadu started to pray to Krishna. At a time like this, only you can save us. And as they prayed, Krishna just appeared there in the scene. And Krishna chastised Lord Shiva. And being chastised by Lord Shiva, Shiva came back to his senses. And when he came back to his senses, he started to advise Balwal, asking him to surrender to Krishna because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then Balwal surrendered to Krishna. And Krishna then cast his glance upon Sunandan and he came back to life. And Krishna cast his glance to all the Jadu warriors, those who left their lives in the battle, they also came back to life. So that is the benefit of even dying for Krishna. Because even if you die for Krishna, you'll come back to life by His mercy. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question? Yes. Yeah, very good. Yes, generally Krishna's sons are Krishna's expansion. But at the same time, when Krishna comes to perform his pastimes here, different living entities also get a chance to play that role of his sons. In this way, they actually become eligible to go back to Krishna's eternal pastimes in Golok or Dwarka.
Yeah. 25 years. And the time and the Bharula Kurukshetra. So that's his son also. So materially speaking, calculating, did the sons appear to be almost the same, or they were older? Like,
what's that?
The children of Krishna,
yeah,
or his sons. Krishna is under
actually, they all are eternal, eternal personalities. They are eternal, but when they come to perform their pastimes on the earth planet, especially when they perform their pastimes in the human form, then they act like that. They are born. It seems that they grow, and as many years they live on the planet, it seems that they lived there so many years old, right? But their appearance remains the same. Like Krishna, although 125 years old, but he looks just like a 16-year-old boy. That's his eternal form. Krishna's eternal form is Navakishore. Just 15 going on 16. Same thing with his children also. They just eternally remain. And not only that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates also. Especially Panchatattva. They are considered to be eternally youthful. Is Sri Chaitanya, Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Kaishoradi Sadabaram. Kaishor means just before youth, juvenile. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Maharaj, yesterday in your first session, you have explained how Krishna makes the residents of Vrindavan forget that he is Supreme Personality of Godhead in order to have the pastime. So in Dwarka, do the residents of Dwarka also forgot that he was Supreme Personality of Godhead?
No, in Dwarka they have that awareness that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is the super soul. Therefore in Dwarka Krishna is sometimes two hands, sometimes four hands. But in Vrindavan he is always two hands. Only once in a while he shows his forearm form as Narayan when the gopis were looking for him, but they didn't pay any heed to that. They're not interested in his forearm form. Whereas in Dwarka they always remember that, oh, Krishna, although Krishna is our relative, but actually he is the super soul. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Let somebody else carry the mic. Subhas Prabhu is carrying.
Maharaj, there are so many rasas like Dasya ras, Sakya ras, parental ras, and the highest one is conjugal, but when you serve Krishna, aren't you happy or satisfied serving any ras you are serving? Like I'm serving as a Dasya ras, you should be satisfied in your ras.
Very good.
But when they say like you should go for higher ras, like I heard Vaikuntha people, they're always very happy to serve Krishna and very satisfied in their mood, and they don't want to go in Vrindavan ras. So what should we be thinking?
What should you do? It says that whatever is one's own rasa, that is the highest. Like he is perfectly situated in that manner. A servant is perfectly situated as a servant. A friend is perfectly situated as in friendship. Parents are perfectly situated as parents. And the gopis, they're perfectly situated as gopis. The gopis are not thinking, oh, I wish I was Krishna's friend. Or the Krishna's father is not thinking that, oh, I wish I was a servant. It's not like that. Whatever is one's mellow, he thinks that that is the highest. So if you are satisfied, if you are fully satisfied serving Krishna in the mood of servitorship, fine. That's what really matters. Your own internal satisfaction in serving Krishna. Yes.
Maharaj, the question is, when a devotee would realize his own swabhava or his own nature that he belongs to?
Okay, very good. Very good point. when one is engaged in rendering devotional service through Vaidhi Bhakti, following the rules and regulations of the scriptures, eventually, as he becomes completely purified within, then his original identity will automatically become manifest to him. Or another way to look at it is, the spiritual master will reveal his identity. In this respect, I remember one incident when one of our God brothers asked Srila Prabhupada what was his swarup. Meaning, what was his spiritual identity? The Prabhupada told him, don't worry about it. Prabhupada initially was quite annoyed actually. And then he told him, don't worry about it. When you become qualified...
Harba, could you please quiet the child? Please?
Then Prabhupada said, when you become qualified, I will personally come and reveal your Swarup to you. And that was just about a year before, not even a year, a few months before Prabhupada left the planet. So that shows that Prabhupada will always be there for us. When we become qualified, Srila Prabhupada will personally come and reveal our Swarup to us. It will happen. You see, what is actually holding us, what is separating us? The separating is our impurities. The spirit soul is a pure entity. It is his impurities that is making him impure. When we become pure, then automatically we will become situated in our spiritual identity because it is there in us. So that's why all we have to do is sincerely execute our devotional service, which will purify our hearts. Cheto darpana marjana. And then the rest will automatically happen. Hare Krishna. Yes?
Thank you, Maharaj. I would like to ask about Shantarasa. Shantarasa. About Shantarasa, if you can explain it.
What is Shantarasa?
I'm not sure some example.
Shantarasa means the mellow of neutrality. You see, there are two things, two sides. Animosity, love. Right? Either you can be enemy of Krishna or you can love Krishna. Right? Now, when it is the loving exchange is not active, you can say inactive love. When the love is there, but the love is not manifest, it's not being active, then that is called Shantarasa. Right? Love generally becomes manifest through expressions, service. And the sages, those who meditate upon Krishna in their heart, they are in Shantarasa. They are just meditating upon Krishna. But they are not actively involved in serving Krishna. That stage is Shantarasa. Don't worry about it. Become engaged in serving Krishna. Because Shantarasa doesn't, you see, it's not, love is not manifest. Right? Okay, we can give it a kind of mundane explanation. A boy is in love with a girl. Right? And he's always thinking about her. But when the love is mature, when the girl also responds to the love, then what does the boy do? He tries to do so many things for her to please her. Right? So the inactive love is Shantarasa. Active love is Dasya, Sakya, Vatsala and Madhuri. Okay, so yes, Subhas Prabhu.
Yes, Maharaj, I want to ask, what entices a living entity to want to be in the Vaikuntha planets?
What entices?
Yes. For instance, we hear about the pastimes of Lord Krishna from Srila Prabhupada, and we've heard from you today. And the enticement is love of God and,
right,
and association with the Supreme Lord. Now, what would entice us to go to the Vaikuntha planets?
Yeah. Those who do not know about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, they only will go to Vaikuntha and be satisfied there. The devotees, those who got the taste of Vrindavan, even if they go to Vaikuntha, they won't be satisfied. Just like Gop Kumar in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He went all the way to Dwarka and still he is not satisfied. And as you were saying, like what entices them. Actually, when one renders devotional service following Vaidhi Bhakti, rules and regulations of the scriptures, and then when he achieves perfection, then he goes to Vaikuntha. But when one goes to Vaikuntha, the information about Vrindavan is not available to them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Therefore, when Narad Muni was speaking to Gop Kumar about Vrindavan, he told him, okay, let's go to some quiet place so that nobody can listen to us. So that is the thing. Like, Vaikuntha residents are not meant to hear about Vrindavan. Only in Earth planet we get the information of Vrindavan.
Yeah.
Especially at a time like this, the time that we are in. Krishna just performed his Vrindavan pastimes in Dwapar Yuga, and we somehow happen to be born in the age of Kali. And then also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and explained Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, and then Prabhupada came and distributed Mahaprabhu's mercy all over the world. What a good fortune. Okay, Kanarpa.
They like, oftentimes they worship Krishna by himself, or you see temples like that. Does that signify like...
Yeah, they worship Krishna in Vaikuntha mode. This other four, the four sampradayas, Sri, Brahma, Kumar and Rudra, their destination is actually Vaikuntha. It is only Gaudiya Vaishnavas, those who have access to Vrindavan. Yes.
Can you please tell me much about rasa? It's eternal.
Speak to a little louder.
Rasa is eternal, permanent rasa. So rasa can be changed. But everyone has their own part of the rasa.
Yeah. The rasas are generally eternal, but if Krishna wants, he can change it.
He can change.
If Krishna wants, he can change it. But in the spiritual sky, nobody thinks, oh, I am not happy in this rasa, I want to go in that rasa. That doesn't happen in the spiritual world. So now, yes, Krishna Prem Prabhu.
This is for myself as well as for generally for all the people who are involved in Krishna consciousness. And some are walking outside, some are not. What I would like to ask you, and maybe if you can kindly recommend, the process of engaging 24/7, there's a strong recommendation by Srila Prabhupada. I hear him every day, and I feel that he recommends emphatically again and again that if you are sincere, you should engage 24/7. So for karmi or for grasti, there are a lot of people like that here. What is your recommendation? How would we engage?
Well, like the gopis, are they with Krishna all the time? But they are always, but Krishna is in their minds all the time. So it's not that we have to be with Krishna or we have to be in a situation where you can directly serve Krishna. In separation, therefore, it is said that service in separation is even more intense than service in union. So ultimately, it is a matter of our own consciousness. Ultimately, it's a matter of our own love for Krishna. Like just as we gave the example of a young boy in love with a girl. Do you think when that young boy goes to college, what does he think of? So if we are really in love with Krishna, then we'll also be thinking of Krishna all the time. So our situation is not important. What really matters is our intensity of our love. So, okay, last question. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'll come back to my first questions about Shanta Rasa. It's just not like separately Rasa, it's like beginning of Rasas, right?
There is no question of beginning or end as such.
It's not like independent Rasa.
The thing is, you know, rather you start off with service.
Mm-hmm.
The beginning is with service. Jive Sharup Hai, Krishna Nitya Das. That is our Sarup. Every living entity's constitutional position is that he is a servant of Krishna. Therefore, he should serve Krishna. Right? Santarash is lazy love. You love but don't want to do anything for him. What kind of love is it?
Patichu Maharaj ki jai. Kribo.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna, everybody.
Come this way, come in the front. There nobody can see you.
Hare Krishna, everybody. We would like to thank His Holiness Bhakti Charaswami Maharaj for coming here and enlivening us and inspiring us with his wonderful seminar and his presence for the past week. We would also like to have a few people come up and say their realizations. We'd like to start with Rupal. So.
Hi Krishna.
Hi Krishna.
So, was it last week? Yeah, last week, Giriraj Maharaj, he was giving a lecture at a home program, and he said that when you read, you don't retain as much information as when you hear, when Shravanam is taking place, when you hear, you know, the spoken word. So, I've done the Krishna book study with Nirantar Prabhu, and I've read it all, but the amount of inspiration, realizations, understanding that I received in this two-day seminar, hearing it from, especially from a pure devotee and from the lotus mouth of His Holiness Bhakti Charaswami, cannot compare to anything that I've read. So we want to thank Maharaj so humbly for coming and giving this wonderful, wonderful two-day seminar. Thank you.
Next, we would like to call Kandarpa Manjari Mataji to say a few words.
Thank you, Maharaj, for enlightening us with pastimes of Krishna and Dwarka. Yesterday when we were, our family, we couldn't come, so we were listening to the lecture that you were giving. And I, in my studies with my daughter on Srimad Bhagavatam, I was remembering how Vedavyas, when he finished writing the Vedas, some of the four Vedas, he wasn't satisfied. And only when he wrote the Purana, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, glorifying Krishna, he became satisfied that, yes, this I did my service. So I was thinking the same way, because my daughter's response was, I feel so happy after she heard your talk. And, you know, she's still young and, you know, it was many hours, and she was very immersed in your talks. And I told her, well, when you hear from someone who's realized and who loves Krishna, then you also want to love Krishna. And she said, yeah, I just want to love Krishna after hearing him speak. So I felt that, wow, you know, all these years I read to her and, you know, she just heard a few hours of Maharaj speaking and she had that realization. And then she said, he's one of my favorite speakers. So I felt that, you know, that's really the association of those who love Krishna or surrender to Krishna, that they want to make us hear more about him. So I thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji.
Why don't we hear what she has to say?
Thank you for the wonderful talk, but I just love hearing stories about Krishna, and the way you tell the stories is like so enlightening to just hear more. So I just love hearing stories, and the way you describe them, they're so wonderful. So thank you so much.
Hearing that is more inspiring, or adds to the inspiration that we have already received through this seminar. We'd like to call Ananda Gopika Mataji to come forward.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. I just wrote a few words. Thank you so much for a wonderful seminar. There were so many things that we learned. I just wanted to share two. One from each day. From yesterday, I love the part when you said, only when we see Krishna and recognize Krishna, from today, only when we see Krishna and recognize Krishna's identity, can we recognize our own identity as servants of Krishna. And today, and yesterday, I love the part when you were talking about the position when Krishna, the pastime when Krishna came to kidnap Rukmini. You said that how Rukmini saw Krishna for the first time and she immediately recognized him because she used to constantly meditate on him. So I was thinking that, and it really touched my heart, how we can, you know, aspire to think of Krishna always. And Srila Prabhupada, you know, through his giving us the holy name, how we can think of Krishna constantly and how he has given us the treasure in the form of his brilliant disciples, who are our spiritual fathers and uncles, and who, by their exemplary example and constant singing of Krishna's glories and pastimes, are teaching us how we can always think of Krishna. Maharaj, I'm deeply indebted to you for giving me your mercy through the association of your disciples, who have always been guiding and helping me on my spiritual path. You're giving us your mercy through inspiring lectures and through your beautiful Vaishnava songs that I try and listen to every day. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for everything.
We would like to call Vikashananda Krishna Prabhu to speak a few of his realizations as well.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, I made a few points. The last 2 days, yesterday and today, they were such a wonderful time hearing your lectures and all the stories that you shared. So thank you very much for sharing. What a wonderful, transcendental, blissful seminar. Your words are so sweet, they were pouring like honey in both of my ears. I got to learn a lot from these stories that Maharaj shared with us. I thought they were very informational, and they were presented in such a way that I can actually remember them. I think one of you made a point about hearing, and I think hearing is such a nice method where you actually get to remember everything that you learn. Something that I also picked up was Krishna's pastimes are so sweet that I felt that we can all, you know, connect with them. And he, time and time again, you know, in the 28th cycle, of course, he comes down and he establishes that he's the supreme. I think that's a key lesson learned that we can always remember by any of these Krishna's pastimes, is that he's establishing that his own identity as the supreme. I feel that we are very fortunate to be in the 28th cycle and to have received Mahaprabhu's mercy and learn how we can gain entry into the Vrindavan pastimes. That is such such a very nice, you know, thing that we are getting to know. And then finally, I just want to share that we have, I feel, that we have all the information, facility, and the support that we need to go back to Godhead. we have the information from Guru Maharaj, Hare Dasa, we have information from Srila Prabhupada, we have information from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have the facility, we have this temple, we have so many other temples all over the world, and we have the support from such wonderful devotees like yourself, that we have everything that we need to go back to Godhead, and we don't have to look around anywhere. So I feel so fortunate to be in the presence of all of you wonderful devotees, Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, and to be part of this family. Thank you very much. I can only now leave with one more question. When would be the next time, Guru Maharaj, we get to hear this kind of seminar?
Lastly, we'd like to call His Grace Swavas Prabhu to give his realizations and share his thoughts about the seminar.
Hare Krishna. Hare Bo. Okay, I get to sit in the hot seat. Sorry.
They've been cooled down by Sudarshan Chakra.
How do you know? Right. Right. It's always a pleasure to have the association of Bhattacharya Maharaj. On this particular occasion, though, I think it's especially sweet because when I see all these people here, it kind of makes me think of what happened in the ages past, you know. Instead of having a TV or radio, this is what you would do. You'd be in a village, a town, you'd gather so many people, and this would be the topic. You'd read about or hear about the Battle of Kurukshetra. And if you were a child at that time, you would have so many, your mind would just soar into ecstasy about swords and arrows and hearing that the Supreme Lord Krishna, I've heard that he was like 15 feet tall. Is that right? We've heard this. But can you imagine as a child or even adult in those days to think of Krishna, such a wonderful personality, so over the top, lifelike, and all his wonderful activities. And today, the last couple of days, we've been able to hear this, and I thought it was an extremely fluid presentation. I mean, it was, in my opinion, flawless. Wasn't it? Yeah. It was flawless. Hearing it reminded me, many years ago, we used to have these Krishna book contests. And that was about the only time in my life I really became serious about reading the Krishna book. Because we'd have these debates, or whatever they were. I don't know if they were debates or contests. Do you recall? Yeah. And we had to read really, you know, sincerely the Krishna book. And then there'd be competition. And I remember that I would just study day and night the Krishna book. And then when I heard it the last couple of days here from Bhattacharya Maharaj, it just brought back wonderful memories of when I was really serious in Krishna consciousness. And I would read, even though it was in some awkward motivation, but you brought back some really wonderful memories of my early days in Krishna consciousness and how ecstatic it was. It was wonderful being with your godbrother and sitting in a room, and we'd be quizzing each other all the time. And then if you'd be walking along unexpected, they would ask you a question from the Krishna book and you'd have to know it. You'd be like really frustrated if you didn't know it. So, whatever the circumstance, in this particular case, I have to say that you brought back some wonderful memories to me about my early days in Krishna consciousness. And I think the presentation was flawless. And I'm also very impressed, and this is my own feeling from my heart. I'm thinking that Bhattacharya Maharaj, you know, through the years I've known you, but at this stage in your life, you have understood Krishna consciousness. You have brought forth and you've understood, in my opinion, what Krishna consciousness is. And I really want to thank you for sharing that with us. It was really wonderful. Yeah. And the big question is, when will be there another day like this? We're hoping that Maharaj will think about that. Jai.
Hare Krishna. Please, why shared every with me that you really enjoyed Guru Maharaj's lecture, seminar. Really? One more time. Thank you, thank you. They are chanting with love and devotion. So anyway, we would like to thank all of you who came to this seminar, wonderful seminar for 2 days. It's a constant edge, because Prabhu mentioned that it's kind of an Kalnosav, it's a festival per year, right? Particularly, I would like to thank Suvas Prabhu for making a wonderful prasadam arrangement. Without your help, Suvas Prabhu, I don't know where would be starting. So thank you for making a nice prasadam arrangement. And I would like to thank all my God brothers, my God sisters for helping this seminar so nicely. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. And,
Suvas Prabhu doesn't deserve our thanks, not only for Prashad, but for everything that we had here. Actually, Suvas Prabhu, who encouraged me and persuaded me and convinced me to conduct the seminar here in New Dwarka, and actually, we owe Subhas Prabhu for everything here. Like, most probably, most of you are not really aware of the situation. Some years back, this temple was not really doing very well. And at that time, Subhas Prabhu came and took the lead. He took the responsibility. He was in Denver. From Denver, he was requested to come here and take charge of this temple. And since then, New Dwarka community and Rukmini Dwarkadhish temple is simply flourishing in leaps and bounds. So therefore, we owe an inconceivable lot to Subhas Prabhu, and Srila Prabhupada is extremely pleased with Subhas Prabhu. Actually, when we consider that ISKCON is an army, Srila Prabhupada's army, then we see that devotees like Subhas Prabhu are actually the generals of this army, who are leading the army into the charge against the onslaughts of Kali. And with the expert guidance of those wonderful followers of Srila Prabhupada, this battle must be won. Thank you all very much. My glory is to Srila Prabhupada. I also want to thank you very much for coming, participating, and making this endeavor of ours so worthwhile and so successful. It's yes, we like to speak, we like to, because that is our business. We acquire some knowledge, we get some understanding, to some extent we may even get some realizations, and we want to share it with you all, and we want to pass it down to you all. This is what the spiritual life is. Association of devotees simply means that they get together to share their realizations. When the
devotees get together, what is the natural activity? Kapil Dev is pointing out, Satam Prashangan Mama Birja Sambido Bhavanti Ritkarna Vashayana Katha. When Satam, when the sadhus, when the devotees of the Lord assemble together, they simply want to discuss about Him. And this discussion has two aspects. One aspect of the discussion is question, and the other aspect of the discussion is answer. You look at all the scriptures, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, all the Samhitas, Puranas, Mahabharata, Ramayana. It's all actually questions and answers. Let's start with Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna is asking questions, Krishna is giving the answer. So this is how Bhagavad Gita is unfolding. Srimad Bhagavatam, the sages of Naimisharanya are asking and Suta Goswami is answering. Parikshit Maharaj is asking, Sukadev Goswami is answering. Vidura is asking, Maitreya Rishi is answering. King Prachina Devi is asking, Narad Muni is answering. So it's all question answers. Therefore, don't feel shy to ask questions. Because asking questions is actually the indication of your sincerity. The way to progress in spiritual life is tadviddhi pranipatena pariprashnena. Pariprashnena, sincere inquiry. If you really want to progress, then you have to question. Srila Prabhupada said, only two kinds of people don't have any question. One who understood everything, and the one who did not understand anything. So if the understanding is not complete, then naturally there will be questions. And if you have the opportunity to ask the question to somebody who can give you relevant answers, then please consider yourself to be very fortunate. And ISKCON has created that good fortune. Srila Prabhupada has created this good fortune. Srila Prabhupada's own challenge was, if you have a question pertaining to the spiritual subject matter, you can come to me, I can give you all the answers. Any questions, I can give you the answer. And one of the most brilliant presentation of Srila Prabhupada is actually in the form of Perfect Question, Perfect Answer. It's such a wonderful book for a layman. Whenever I cultivate somebody at the beginning, I suggest that please read this book, Perfect Question, Perfect Answer. And we can see that Brahmatirtha Prabhu, who was actually asking the questions to Prabhupada, he was really empowered to ask such wonderful questions, really perfect questions. And naturally, Prabhupada gave the perfect answers. Perfect questions, perfect answers. And not only in that, that's only the beginning. And all Srila Prabhupada's presentations are actually perfect, consists of perfect answers. And if you do not have the opportunity to ask somebody the questions directly, then read Prabhupada's books. And you will see all your questions will get answered. Sometimes you can try doing that. You have a question,
take Prabhupada's book and just open the book. And you'll see what happens. In most cases, I can assure you that you'll get the answer. Perfect answer. So thank you all once again, and once again I want to thank my very, very dear friend, Subhas Prabhu, for giving us this wonderful opportunity and taking care of this community and this temple so wonderfully on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. And with the help of his good wife, Tarit, and all the devotees of Sri Sri New Dwarka community. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you.